If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 John chapter 4. We begin to see that John here is introducing not only the Holy Spirit, chapter 3:24, but now he's going to introduce to us these evil spirits that not only can become a problem to the church. You know, a believer, a born-again believer, cannot ever be possessed by Satan. Back in the 70s, there was a doctrine going around that came from Florida that Christians could be demon-possessed. And if you had a problem with smoking cigarettes or you were overweight, then it would be the demon of gluttony or the demon of smoking. And everything had a demon. Not among non-believers, Christians. And yet the Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. How can, once the light turn on, how can the darkness come back when the light is more powerful than the darkness? It can't. If you go into a dark room and you can't see, you look for the switch. And if you don't have a switch, you have a flashlight. And once you turn on the light, all of the darkness vanishes away. And this is what Jesus talked about to each one of us individually. When you become a Christian, all things become brand new. It doesn't mean that we're sinless, because we all sin still. We're living in a sinful world. But God has given to each one of us individually the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Paracletus, the one that comes alongside to assist, to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because we missed the mark. Of righteousness, because by faith, I'm repenting of my sins, I become righteous through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And of judgment, because the prince of this world, the devil, has been judged. Think about that. Has been judged. So as I was preparing for this book, it was just incredible to see how much the Holy Spirit is in control. And yet in chapter 4, we're going to begin to see in the first 6 verses of chapter 4, the strength and the power of darkness and Satan and all of his demons that are constantly trying to tear down the work of God, which is incredible. In John 12:31, he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler, Satan, of this world will be cast out." Then John 14:30, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me," Jesus said. You don't have to be afraid of Satan. The light has been turned in your life, then the darkness has blown away. Yes, Christians do get harassed. They get oppressed, yes, but never possessed. The only way that a Christian would ever become possessed is by you denying Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, walking away from him, and then you're on your own. Just like the world today, they live in darkness, even though we see them walking around talking, just like we have, and they're breathing, yet spiritually, they're dead. And the Bible says their father is the devil. The devil. Think about that. Their father is Satan himself. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "Whose minds the God of this world or of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them." You see, he's telling about the world, how it's dark. And unless Christ shines in them, by them repenting, acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then the light will be turned on and the darkness will vanish. That's the only way it works. And yet think of the church today, not the non-believers, the church, how the church has become so carnal in their lives. And yet we're living in the last days. It's just incredible to me as I read article after article. You know, there was an article today, we were talking about it upstairs, where in Florida, this guy, there was a hobo walking down the street, and this guy jumped on him and started eating his face. Eating his face. This is where we're heading. The world is totally changing, man. There is so much evil in the world today, it's incredible. Our children and our grandchildren are in danger. That's why they need to know God. We don't know what the future holds. We know for us as Christians, the Lord's coming. He's going to keep us out of tribulation. But because we live here and because we're normal people, even though we're Christians, we still have to face the trials and temptations of this world. And if you're not spiritual, and if you're not reading, if you're not praying, if you don't have the power to defeat the enemy, then the enemy is going to defeat you. He's going to defeat you. You can't play games with God and Satan. Satan's real. He's no challenge for me or you. When he came to Jesus there in the three temptations that he brought to him in Matthew chapter 4, while he was out in the wilderness, three times he came. He came physically to tempt him, emotionally, and spiritually. And every time Jesus overcame the temptation by giving him the Word of God. The Word of God. And then I think of how many Christians today don't even study God's Word. Don't even know God's Word. I got an email today from a lady that comes here that for the first time, she's been a Christian 10 years, for the first time she read through the whole Bible this year. And she goes, I can't believe how much is in the Bible. Of course. There's so much. So much. It's like having a gun without ammo. And to try to defend yourself, you can't. You can't. I mean, if we eat physically every single day and we're not eating spiritually every day, what happens? You're going to starve to death. You're not going to have strength spiritually to defend yourself or to do anything. Because he's going to talk to us right now about demonology big time. And it's really important that we understand that in 1 John 5:19 he says, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You see? The whole world is lying under the sway of the evil one, Satan himself. And there are so many people in the world that don't get it. They don't get it. Number one, because they don't believe in Satan and demonology, and they don't believe in God. It's sad. So sad. I was talking to a Catholic lady today up here on Diamond Bar. I went to the store here, and there's a watch place up here, so I went in there to see if they can repair one of my watches. And you know what he said? The lady's Catholic. He says, yeah, you know, the end of the world's coming, and we're praying to Mary so that she can deliver us. You know, I didn't say nothing, but I went and got my movie and gave it to her, you know, so she can get convicted by that. I didn't want to get in an argument with her. People think I'm against Catholicism. I'm not. I was a Catholic. And I got out of Catholicism. I went to Catholic school. I mean, when I was in fourth and fifth grade, I was an altar boy. Can you believe that? I was an altar boy. And then I got kicked out, so that's pretty. But it's really important that we understand that it's Christ Jesus. It's not about Catholics or Baptists or Methodists or Pentecostals or Calvary Chapel. It's about Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And we come to him in full surrender and full repentance so that we can be used by him fully and complete. And yet the weakness of the church is not the gospel. The weakness is carnality. Carnality, which means I'm not fully committed to the Lord. One foot in the world, one foot in Christ. And you don't continue to grow, you don't continue to develop spiritually. So when temptation comes or a trial comes, you really have no defense against your enemy. And what happens? He beats you up and he defeats you. And you walk around defeated instead of victorious. The only way to walk victoriously, man, is to know him intimately, to be in his word, man, and to be in prayer, and to have the full armor of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to do it. And yet John gives us the evidence and the proof here that we are possessed by the Holy Spirit, and at the same time, there is a spirit of error, a spirit of error in the world today. And that's what he's going to talk to us about. The spirit of error is constantly denying the incarnation of Jesus Christ when you talk to people. Any church Any religion that denies the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or his deity, be careful with that church. Be careful with those people. They're antichrist. They don't believe that Jesus came as a human, 100% and 100% God. That's what they don't believe. That he supernatural, because he was God, he never sinned. He took upon himself on the cross our sins, but he was sinless. He was God, incarnate in the flesh. I love that. The way the scripture puts it together. Let's begin now by looking at chapter 4. And let's begin by looking at chapter 4, because he's going to be dealing with the spiritual world. And secondly, we are going to not only move into new territory, he's going to move into the devil's territory as we look at chapter 4. Right off the bat, notice in chapter 4, verse 1, we have here a serious, serious warning to the church in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 4 of 1 John. He starts out by talking to us about the believer's duty to discern the spirits, whether they are true or whether they are false. Is it the spirit of God or is it the spirit of error? Is it Satan or is it God? The majority of Christians don't discern. That's why we get ourselves in trouble. We are gullible to receive just about anything anybody tells us. I've talked to Christians, man. It's amazing how a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon can talk to them and almost convince them to their religion. But if you know the Bible, if you know God's Word, and you're connected to the Lord, there is no possible way that anybody can deceive you. The only people that get deceived are people that are not plugged in to His Word. Because they don't know God's Word. It's like having a map, but you don't know how to read a map. You're not going to get to your destination. You can't do that. You have to learn God's word so that you know how to memorize scripture, how to use scripture when it comes to temptation, when it comes to whatever you're going through, so that you're assured that God is with you. Just like here he starts in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." Notice that. But test the spirits. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Notice that. The believer's duty is to discern the spirits, whether they are true or whether they are false. There's a lot of false spirits out there. According to the scripture reference, in Matthew 24, 11 and verse 24, he talks about the last days, how there's going to be a deception and the Antichrist spirit is coming. In Mark 13, 22, Luke 6, 26, Acts 13, 6, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and a whole chapter talks about it. And then in Revelations chapter 16, 13, Revelations 19, 20, and then again Revelations 20, verse 10. All the way to the New Testament, it speaks about Satan and his demons. In the Old Testament, it's not as broad as the New Testament, but we see it in the Old Testament, preparing for the New Testament. Then one of my professors says, if you want to really think about Satan, the way he works, is when the Bible started, it's, you know, a funnel where cheerleaders used to actually speak out. At the end, when they put it into their mouth, it's the actual end, real small. Turn it around this way, it started with a big funnel. And the sooner the Lord comes back, the closer we get, the funnel gets skinnier. Not broader, skinnier. Because time is running short. And the Bible tells us that Satan, like a roaring lion, is going to be let out, and he is going to try to take as many people as he can to go to hell. Look at what he's doing right now in the world. We're living in the last days. People don't have the desire, they don't have the thirst, they don't have the heart to really study God's word and to know God intimately. So John, here in the island of Patmos, he's writing this beautiful, amazing book. And he begins to warn us. He says, "Beloved," speaking to Christians, note the warning. He says, "Do not believe every spirit." So he's talking to the church, and the word here to test is the word that is used in 1 Corinthians 3:13, 1 Peter 1:7, and it's the word that is used here to prove, as a proof. You know, he says, I want you to do this. Do not believe every spirit, but prove or test or examine what spirit it is. Is it the spirit of God or is it the spirit of Satan? Which one is it? Whether they are of God, because many, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Notice that. Have gone into the world. What are the characteristics that the Bible gives to us about these people that are false teachers, false prophets? Number one, they prophesy peace, but they don't bring peace. It's a false peace. A false peace. Jeremiah 23:17 tells us that. That they prophesied in their own name, not in the name of the Lord. And false prophets in the Old Testament were stoned to death. They were killed. Like witches, those at Cristobal, right, you know, readers, palm readers, they were instantly put to death. And now in the New Testament, when you read Matthew chapter 24, and you come to that place where Jesus is speaking about Satan and demonology, he said that in the last days there's going to be hundreds, thousands of antichrists, not just one. And the Antichrist spirit has been here for 1,900 years. 1,900 years, imagine that. And the closer we come to the coming of the Lord, the worst is going to get in the world. Look what's happened since the 50s to the 60s and the 70s, 80s, and 90s just with television. Just with television and radio. I mean, it's totally become perverted. Perverted. And then cable came into the picture with 160 to 300 whatever channels. You can get whatever you want on any channel. Think about that. It's sad. And here the children in the home or whoever's in the home and you're watching those things that are not right, what happens? And we forget, just like a computer, that in your computer, if you go online and you go to a website, like say you go to a website where there's, you know, dirty stuff, let's say pornography or nude girls, whatever it is, and then you click out of it because you don't want your wife to know or your husband to know it, whatever, you know, even if you're a young person. Did you know that if you took your computer into a specialist and they looked at the brain of the computer, even if you try to erase it, it's there forever? That's right, it's forever. That's how the government, when somebody kills somebody, they take their computer into court and they go to the main brain and they find out everything they typed out. That's pretty heavy. It's like the brain. Everything's in our brain. And I think it's really important that Christians be careful what websites you're going to, what you're listening to, what you're watching. Because this is what happens. If you're looking after evil and messing with evil, and Satan comes against you and begins to oppress you, how can you come for prayer and ask people to pray for you when you need to repent? And you need to put away those things. Otherwise, you know what? You can pray all you want, and God's not going to help you until you repent. Bottom line, you're deceiving yourself. God can't do anything into this real repentance until you're serious with God. People get oppressed, they get depressed, you know, and now you're having nightmares. Well, what are you watching? Who are you listening to? You know? You're having problems in the flesh? Well, maybe the things that you're watching is getting you in the flesh, and you start committing adultery, you start lying, cheating, committing fornication, stealing from your employer. Think about it. It's all to do what we put into our hearts. That's what's going to come out. Very important. We need to guard our minds. The best way to wash your mind is by the Word of God. Reading it, studying it, praying between you and God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and His power. Because here John, dealing with demonology, he starts out in chapter 4 in the first 6 verses before he gets to the whole chapter. He wants to make sure that we understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, Paul tells us that. And he says, if you're going to fight against Satan and his demons, you pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't even pray in English. You pray by groaning. And if God baptizes you with the gift of tongues, pray with tongues. Pray with tongues. There's power in prayer. Do I have to be afraid of Satan? Nope. So many times people are talking more about Satan than talking about God. Talk more about God than Satan. In the 70s, again, everything they saw was a demon and everything. That's not true. A lot of times we blame the devil when it's your flesh. It's not the devil. You wanted to do that. Don't blame it on the devil. You wanted to do that. Yes, the devil tempts us. The devil wants to destroy our lives. He's come to rob, steal, and kill. But God has given us a will to make choices. We can be in the light or we can be in darkness. It's up to you. Before a child of God can sin, one of the biggest things that we have is who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He warns you before you sin. And if you willfully sin, you're going against the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says when you go against the Holy Spirit, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He cannot effectively work in your life because he's grieved. And the word grieve is pain. He gets hurt because he's a person. He has personality. Think about that. So here John is introducing us again to Satan and his powers. In the book of Ezekiel, first of all, he starts out in chapter 28, verse 11. He gives us an intro to Satan, and also in Isaiah chapter 14, 12, he says this in Isaiah 14, 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, the five wills of Satan, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the angels of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you, Satan, will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who shook the kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of its prisoners? He's saying when we see Satan one day, we're going to go, is that him? We're going to blow our minds. Because a lot of times people think of Satan with little, you know, his little horns, you know, his little long tail and his pitchfork and he's going around picking like, you know, he's not like that. His demons are pretty ugly. But he is a beautiful angel of God. A beautiful angel of God, the Bible says. Beautiful angel of God. And you can't mess with him because here the scripture says that he was an angel that fell. God, once he was in heaven, he tried to take over the throne of God with the five eye wills. God took him and cast him out of heaven. And listen to Ezekiel 28:11. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. The Shekinah glory of God, notice that. I will be like the Most High. Yet you will be brought down to Sheol, the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze and consider you, saying, notice that, who is this guy? And then, again, listen what he says in Matthew 24:14. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Mashiach, and I says, and will deceive many. And then again in Matthew 24:24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Who are the elect? He's talking about the Jews there. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest someone, as a serpent, deceive Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we receive a different spirit, which we have not received, or a different gospel, which we have not accepted, you may well put up with it. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Notice that. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destruction and heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. 2 John verse 7, for many deceivers have gone on into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Notice that, the incarnation. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Jude 8, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like bruised animals. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have ran greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. Notice that. All the way through the New Testament concerning all these false teachers and false prophets. So that's why John here is important, what he's telling us. He says again, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then verse 2, and then check this out. By this you know the Spirit of God. So he says this is the spirit of error, but this is the way you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Notice the deity and incarnation of Jesus Christ he's speaking about here. If they don't believe that, then they're an antichrist. They don't really believe in Jesus Christ. They're just liars. They're deceivers. So here John gives us the negative. He gives us the positive here. A true believer confesses that eternal Son of God became flesh and came and walked for 33 years, and then he gave himself to die on the cross. He was crucified. He died, gave up the spirit, and then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. 40 days later, he ascended to heaven, and there he sits, and he's coming back again the second time. Imagine how Satan has lied to so many people. You ever walk into a place and you feel the presence of darkness? Pretty heavy, huh? I've been in so many places like that. Whoa, man, you go, wow, saints here. I get calls all the time from people in the homes. They want us to come and pray for their houses. You know, we don't have to go to your house. Just take oil, anoint your house, and pray over your house. And ask God, take these, or whatever is oppression, whatever is in our house, Lord, clean it. The problem is when people have problems in their homes, it's because of their kids or whoever it is, and they have all these stuff that has to do with Satan. Ouija boards, you know, watching things that are there. So what happens? Satan oppresses the house. Greater is he that is in us than he that is the world. Light turns out the darkness. Very important to understand that. Then he goes on here Because the Gnostics, remember, did not believe in the incarnation. They believed that Jesus was like a phantom when he walked. By this you know, the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, notice that, is of God. So here he gives us the total amazing truth about Jesus Christ, his incarnation. And then you got to read John 1, verse 1, verse 14, where he says, in the beginning, God, remember, created the heavens and the earth in Genesis. But in John 1, 1, he says, again, he speaks about Jesus coming, being God, and then coming in the flesh, you see, and becoming the Son of the living God. And then verse 3, now he goes back to the negative. Notice that. John now is going to state the opposite in the verse 2. In every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Notice that. It's not of God. So here, the word spirit is in reference to a spiritual proclamation by a human personality. If someone tells you that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh, don't even talk to them. Don't even talk to them. Because that's what the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, and all these cults do. They're always tearing down the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Notice that. Not the Antichrist, but it's the spirit of Antichrist. How long has it been here? It's been here for 1900 years. Think about that. He's telling you here. He says, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now already is in the world. Notice that. 1900 years ago, John wrote this, and he says, the Antichrist spirit was here. Imagine how much more today we have so many Antichrists in the world today that don't really believe in the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see here that Jesus proved not only his incarnation, but he proved his unique by life, death, resurrection, and then ascension, and then coming back the second time. And when he comes back the second time, it's not as a savior of the world, but as the judge of the world. He's going to judge the world. The church will be gone, but the world will be judged. And then verse 4. He says, again, here's the believer's victory over false prophets and antichrists. He says, you are of God, little children. Beautiful term for little children, tenderness, as a Christian. And have overcome them. So look what he says. You are of God, little children, and have overcome who? The antichrists, the false prophets. Why? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Underline that scripture. Greater is he that is in me. Who's that? The Holy Spirit. Than he who's in the world. Who's in the world? Satan. And Satan has been defeated by Jesus Christ. Remember in the garden, in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, when Satan came to the garden and deceived Adam and Eve, the title deed to the earth was taken from them. Satan has held it for a long time. And then Jesus Christ, the purpose of his first coming, and then coming again in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, we see Jesus Christ taking the title deed to the earth back to himself. From Satan, he takes it back. Because in the kingdom age, who's going to rule? Jesus Christ. Satan will be in the bottomless pit. And after 1,000 years, Satan will be let out one more time to see people's hearts that are living in the kingdom age. And then he'll be taken and thrown into the lake of fire with the Antichrist, the false prophet, every demon. And then every person, when he opens the books in Revelation 20, 11 through 15 at the white throne judgment, whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. So we have a great judgment coming for the non-believer. This is nothing compared to eternity. Light or darkness. So here he gives us assurance that we don't have to be like the world. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Verse 5. They are of the world. So he tells you these people are secular. They're not spiritual. They're secular. These are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. You see? They're always speaking about the world. They have nothing to speak about the Spirit of God. Anything spiritual, they have nothing to say. And then he says this, and the world listens to them. Underline that. The world is listening to them. False teachers, false prophets, they draw a crowd. Crowds are always before false teachers all the time, listening to garbage. To me, it's incredible that people can lie to you and people can have ears to hear what is not of God and to believe people that are lying straight to your face. But they won't open the Bible, they won't read it for themselves because, number one, they don't know where the books speak about. And yet nobody can read the Bible apart from the Holy Spirit. I can remember there are classes in seminaries or in secular colleges that you have biblical literature. You can take a class from a teacher that is not a Christian and you'll learn the Bible as a book of literature. No inspiration, no illumination, no revelation. And so when they're learning, it's like reading a regular book. But I remember when I came to Christ and the first time I opened my Bible, the next day I got saved, I went and bought a Bible. And it was the Old King James. Old King James is hard to read. And you know what? When I opened it up, I read the Gospel of John, man, and it blew me away. It just spoke to my heart. It just spoke to my heart. Every line that I read, man, it was just amazing. Then I got through that, and I went to Acts, and then, you know, to the Old New Testament, then to the Old Testament. And then since then, I've been trying to read the Bible once or twice a year. And every kind of a Bible that they actually put out today, the New Living Bible, the NASB, whatever it is, translations, I like to read them to see what they're saying, how much they delete from the truth of God. You see, you can't teach with the Living Bible because there's no real inspiration in that. They take away most of the important things that were actually given to us by the Holy Spirit. The Old King James and the New King James, you can trust them for teaching the Word of God. They take you back to the old scriptures. They take you back to the transcripts. And it's really important that we understand that as John is speaking to us here, remember, these guys were writing. They didn't have the Bible. They were writing as the Holy Spirit spoke to them. They wrote it down, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we can read here and say, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he, the Holy Spirit who is in you, is greater than he who is in the world. Who's in the world? Satan. Satan. They are of the world. The false teachers, false prophets. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world is constantly listening to them. What do they listen to? Lies. Lies all the time, not the truth. And then, notice verse 6. We. Notice, he's not a Frenchman. We. We. We are of God. He who knows God, what does he say? Hears us. Isn't that cool? He who is not of God does not hear us. There he's telling you. Okay? So you don't waste your time with people. Those that are not of God, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to put you down. They're going to make fun of you. But if somebody really wants to know the truth, they're going to open their ears and they're going to listen to what you have to say. And of course, again, he's talking about these people that are false teachers. Look what he says. We are of God. He who knows, he says, he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know, gnosko, knows by experience, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Underline that. This is how we know. If you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. Spirit of truth or the spirit of error. Do you accept what God's word says? And are you obedient to the word of God? Or are you disobedient to the word of God? Very important what he's teaching us here. Because there's a lot of Christians, they say, I believe in God, when the Bible says that even the demons believe in God. Satan believes in God too. So I'm not impressed when people say, I believe in God. And then when you start examining that person's life and you begin to ask him questions to define who God is. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see? And going back to Genesis 1, John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, even Hebrews chapter 1. It speaks about the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, how he came from eternity. He became man, tabernacled among us. Notice that. Tabernacled among us. He humbled himself to go to the cross, to die for your sins and my sins. But yet people have so much pride, they don't want to really receive the forgiveness of God. They'd rather go to hell. And it's so sad that so many people have gone to hell and so many people are still going to hell. Think how easy it is to get to heaven. Think about it. All you have to do, okay, to get to heaven is nothing, just believe. But think of all the people that are going to go to hell and they're going to have a mind. They're going to have eyes to see, ears, and they're going to have all five senses working in their hearts. Imagine that. Working in their hearts. And as Satan works in their hearts forever and ever and ever and ever, they're going to think back, imagine, think back in your life, all the times that you denied the Lord, all the times you went to parties, all the things that you ever did, and it's like a rerun over and over and over for all eternity. But not so for the Christian. The Bible says no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. We are going to have the joy of the Lord forever and ever and ever, and the peace of God. No more suffering, no more of any disease, but we shall be like him, the Bible says. That's why it's important for me to understand that by faith in Jesus Christ, I come, I surrender, I repent, he comes into my life, and I become a Christian. I become a Christ-likeness. That's who we are. We're not in a religion. We're in a relationship between you and God. And that's why when families come to the altar, you can't get saved as a family. You get saved individually. Salvation's individually. It's not in a package, okay, your mom and dad and everybody come back and you're going to get saved. It doesn't work that way. You got to come on your own and repent. So that's why John wants to make sure that we understand that we have a warfare going on against principalities and powers and rules of darkness. So that's Satan and all of his demons. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I love that scripture, man. Memorize it. When people come to you and they put a trip over you, you know, and they start telling you stuff, you know what? Say, I rebuked in the name of Jesus. I don't have to receive that stuff. That's nothing but garbage. Spend more time reading, studying, knowing God than Satan. I get blown away by how many people talk so much about darkness and rather than the light. When the light is greater than the darkness, we don't have to worry about. Now what he's going to do now for the rest of the chapter, he's going to speak to us about God's divine love for the child of God, which is amazing. God's divine love for you and for me. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord God. Lord, that as we continue in the next week, Father, concerning this whole chapter on love, Lord God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that your people that are called by your name even here tonight, Lord God, Father, that we would be willing to surrender, to submit, and Father, to give our whole lives to you, Jesus. And Father, for those that are struggling, Lord God, I pray for them. Lord, I ask you that you watch over them, Jesus. Lord, that you would take the darkness away and that you would bring your light upon them, God. And Lord, I pray for every mother here, every father, every son and daughter. And Lord God, we pray for every employer and employee, for every athlete, Lord God. Lord, we ask you that as we surrender to you tonight, Jesus, that you would make yourself real in each one of our hearts and lives, Jesus. Lord, we want to know you intimately, Lord God. Lord, we pray also for Pastor Chuck. Touch him, anoint him, heal him. Lord, be with Kay too, Lord God. And Father, for that little girl that has cancer too, Lord God, tonight I talk to her mom, Lord. I pray for her, Lord. And for anyone here tonight, too, that is going through a lot of heavy stuff, God, be with them, Jesus. Lord, show them that you're in control, Lord God. And Father, for those that might be visiting with us tonight, Jesus, if you're not a Christian, nobody's going to force you to become a Christian. You can leave here the same way you came. But if the Holy Spirit has been ministering to you, the only way a person can come to Christ is by the power of the Holy Spirit. When he convicts you and he makes you see that you have sinned against God. Sin can only be taken away by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. As you call upon him, as you confess your sins to him, as you repent of your sins, then he'll come and be part of your life. He'll come into your heart. He'll wash you by his blood from every one of your sins. He'll cast them as far as to the east, to the west. Never remember them ever again. And he'll give you spiritual life forever and ever and ever and ever. If there's anybody here tonight that wants to repent and wants to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and walk up to the front where I'm standing here. And then those watching through the internet will pray with you in a second. Let's worship. You get up and you come, whoever you are, young, old, doesn't matter who you are. Okay, for those of you that have come, I want to pray with you. You pray with me this prayer out loud. Repeat after me, okay? And those watching through the internet, you can pray too. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, to wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord, as my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. And Lord, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. Amen. We're going to give you guys a Bible. See that guy right over there, you guys? Go right over there, huh? Awesome, awesome. That's neat.